but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon State has its spring football game coming up Saturday. Want you tuned into this? You're a Beaver fan, casual observer, just want to go see some college football on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Reser Stadium, 11 a.m., the gates open. Pac-12 Network will have the broadcast of Oregon State's spring showcase at noon on the Pac-12 Network. Joining us now, Oregon State football coach Trent Bray. He is ready for his first spring game as the head coach. How different is a spring game as a head coach, coach?
I guess I'll find out, but a lot less probably stress on me. I don't have to worry about calling it or anything like that. I'm kind of just watching and observing.
Yeah, it's like I'm at the top of the ski run. I've never skied before, and you're going, what's it like to ski? And I'll be like, I'll tell you in about 15 minutes how this is going for me. Look, what are you looking for in the spring? I know as a D coordinator, you probably came in, did you typically go into a spring with a couple of agenda items, or was it more personnel driven, or is it different now?
No, it's kind of the same. It's fundamentally, what are we going to be great at? What do we want to kind of be our identity, and then really focus on, implementing those things and teaching those things. A lot less scheme and more about those things. Here we got these four or five things that we got to do really well, and let's get really good at those things.
Giovanni McCoy was asked why he chose Oregon State. I want to play his clip for you. I want to ask you about this.
I just felt comfortable here with the whole staff, and it just felt like a real tight-knit staff and like a family. Like Coach Bray played here, and then like a few other coaches too. So just the fact that they all came back, and it just felt like a real close-knit family. So I definitely like that.
I love that he's selling and understanding the family element of that. And what has he been like for you in practices?
He's been really good. There's been a lot of learning for him and all those quarterbacks with the new system. But he's gotten better every day, and really the last week he's starting to play faster and think less, and I think he's doing a really good job of getting better every day. But yeah, he's understanding the system better, so he's been able to play a little bit faster, which is great to see.
Oregon State's identity has been run game, defense, toughness. How will that sort of parlay into next season in with a new coordinator, new head coach, a new mentality?
Yeah, it's going to be a very similar identity as far as, we're going to run the ball. We got really good running backs from the backfield. The offensive line is getting better. Our last scrimmage, we ran the ball really well. So that's always going to be at the core offensively. And then we need to be able to make some explosive plays in the passing game when people load the box to stop our run game. And so that's kind of been the focus in the spring. And then, we hang our hat deep on defense at Oregon State. When I've been here the last couple of years, it's just you got to play great defense at Oregon State. You got to be tough, physical, fast player to play defense here. And we feel we got those guys in the room. So looking forward to moving forward with these guys.
You've got, obviously the story of last week with Damian Martinez getting in the portal. But I look at your room and I go, okay, where's the opportunity? Who in that room sat up in their chair after, they heard Damian was gone? And did you feel any of that in the subsequent practices with guys maybe efforting a little different? Or, how does that room look to you right now?
The room looks really good. Just looking at the top two guys, and Anthony Hankerson and Jam Griffin, they're really good, talented backs, and they're complete backs. They're guys that are dynamic in the run game, especially with the scheme that we're running. And then they're good out of the backfield as receivers, and then they're good in pass protection. So when you talk about not having the sub guys out on third down or passing situations, they can play every down and distance. That's been great to see. And our practices, actually, the last three practices since that's happened, have been our best practices of the spring. So I think they really responded well.
I talked to Damian. I know you did, too, as he sort of mm-hmm. was making his decision. And I don't think there's any point in beating kids up who are getting into the portal. It's kind of the world, and who knows why a kid gets into the portal. But he said, you know, this was about opportunity and going to try to prove he was the number one back. And, Trent, I wanted to tell him, you know, hey, how about, you know, Marshall Faulk? How about, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson? I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson was in the WAC, and, you know, he ends up being a top five pick, and yeah. Both guys are in the Hall of Fame. And so what is your reaction, not just with Damian, but when you get kids who are having those portal conversations with you, you know, how you know, and again, you got a guy in your backfield in Jam Griffin who left, now he's back. I mean, you know, how do you handle that?
You know, I think just what you said, I don't get mad at the kid for that. They've got a lot of people in their ear and people that are selling them on stuff. And, you know, they're just hearing all different points of view from third parties and stuff like that. And, you know, it's unfortunate when you lose a guy like that, but it is the world we live in now, and you got to be ready to adapt and make sure you're developing guys along the way, so when it does happen, it doesn't, you know, destroy your team or destroy, you know, that position group, which is why we feel good about the backfield now. We felt we had three great backs, and, you know, Damian leaves, and we still got two great backs back there.
You also, you know, apparently, I was talking with Kyle Bjornstedt of the Damnation Collective, and he said that money that, you know, was earmarked for Damian is earmarked for football. And does that give you an opportunity to maybe go get better at some other positions or work harder at retaining guys, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think when you look at building a roster and the other things that you might need and want to do on the current roster, I think that it opens up some opportunities to get better as a team. Yeah.
Can you get in the portal yourself this time of year, or do you like what you have?
I like what we have, and I think we got a chance to be good. But we're always going to look at, is there a guy in there that's interested that could come in and make us that much better? So I think you're always going to look. You're never going to say, oh, we're done. We're never going to try to improve our roster.
Trent Bray with us, Oregon State head football coach. The portal windows have, you know, they cause all kinds of problems. I think it's, you know, NCAA is trying to figure this out. College football is trying to figure this out. I think players are trying to figure it out. But how do you feel about, you know, having the two windows, the spring and then sort of that postseason window? It feels like there's a lot of activity and maybe too much activity, but you tell me, you're in that world.
The spring one's the hard one, especially you've had spring practice. You've invested a lot of time in reps and guys, and really we won't know what our final roster is until, you know, after April 30th. And so that makes it real tough, you know, because like I said, you invest a lot of reps and guys that may take off. And there's guys that you just can't predict what your roster is going to look like. That's the toughest part for us as coaches.
Is there danger in moving your spring practices later in that, you know, would you want to slide that a little later, or do you think it matters where your practices are? Maybe the NCAA is going to move the portal window anyway.
Yeah, the danger there is just if you get a guy injured, it's just that much closer to the season to get him back and healthy and where he needs to be. That's really the biggest one in moving spring too far back.
Trent Bray with us. Oregon State's Spring Showcase, Saturday, Research Stadium, open to the public. You know, I know that as a D coordinator, you were pacing up and down the sideline, and, you know, you were watching that jumbo screen and looking for, you know, your next call, or looking to see what happened on the play, or looking at alignment. As a head coach, will you be that way, or do you think you'll be more stationary on the sideline and kind of letting your, you know, looking at things from 20,000 feet?
I think the walking around helps me think. So I don't think I'll totally stop that, but it'll be more, what am I looking at will be a lot different. You know, the situation, you know, thinking about what to do. Okay, hey, when's four a go? When do timeouts need to be called? All those things will be the things I'll think about now instead of the next play call. So I think it'll be similar, but what I'm thinking about is going to be the biggest difference.
Your athletic director wrote an open letter today basically saying, there's been some gut punches here. He says, Beaver Nation, gloves on. Here we go. He's going to throw some punches. But I actually am a gloves-off guy, Trent Bray. I think with, Oregon State's mentality should be more bloody knuckles, gloves off. You agree or disagree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the way that's said, yeah.
You guys are in a precarious position, but you've got a job to do. So how do you view the football program's role in what comes next for the university? What comes next is, the Pac-12 tries to find some footing or rebuild itself. What's your role? What's the program's role? Or do you get caught up in that? Do you have to focus on the micro?
Yeah, I don't get caught up in it. We're focusing on, this team and this next season, how we make it the best that it can be and this team the best it can be. But we all know that football is a driving force of the university. It's the most, just seen thing of the university. It can drive, enrollment. It drives a lot of different things. Success in football, when this all realigns again, will help us move into it, into a conference and all those different things. So I think success of football is very important for a school.
I want to go back to 2002 to 2005. You're on campus, you're a baby-faced student there playing football at Oregon State. More fun to be a player in spring football or to be a coach in spring football?
Probably a coach. As a player, it was always kind of, okay, you love football, but you want to play games. And so it's kind of like you don't get to play games. As a coach, you love it because this is really the purest time of coaching. You're not worried about games. You're not worried about all these other things. You're worried about just teaching and coaching. So as a coach, definitely.
Did you have a class that you took at Oregon State that you look back on and you go, man, I was really lucky to be in that class. What an impact it had. And as I think back to English teachers that I had that were eccentric and interesting and made me think outside the box. But what do you think about when you think back to the classwork and the classroom work that you did at Oregon State?
There were. I remember I had a history class that was really interesting, and then a philosophy class, and I'd never taken anything like that before. That were kind of just outside the box thinking for me. Not stuff I usually thought about. So I do remember some classes like that.
The history, what kind of history was it? Do you remember?
It was American history.
So there's some strategy in that. Like a guy like Andy Ludwig, the offensive coordinator at Utah, big history guy. Mm-hmm. I kind of geeked out a little bit with him in a conversation once about what he loves about history, and he was talking about sort of the strategy of war and strategy of leadership and all that. What do you get out of philosophy and history that you can use as a football coach?
Yeah, I think there's definitely the strategy of those things. Philosophy is just really the thinking outside the box and then looking at a new way to think about something. I think as a coach, you got to constantly train yourself to look for better ways to do things. There's a lot of everyone runs similar coverages, like as a defensive coach, but how you pass routes off, how you do things, what's a better way to get things done. So I think that kind of mindset is important.
Is there a position group that you think is tougher to coach? And I don't think I've ever asked that question before. It may be a dumb question, but just focus on the defensive side of the ball. You were talking about how you hand off routes and stuff like that. Is it a harder job to coach defensive backfield versus maybe coaching the interior linemen on the D-line? Or because there's so much athleticism maybe in space with the defensive backfield, is it easier to coach those guys? You tell me.
It's kind of different. So like at inside backer, the backer, like as far as everything you have to do, it's the hardest position to play on the field. Because you're an immediate run stopper, you're immediate in the pass game. There's a lot of things that are on you fast that you have to sort out. When you're in the defensive backfield, that's probably the toughest from a fundamental and technique standpoint, because one bad step or two can cost you a touchdown. And then up front, it's very, the physical part of the game, not so much the mental or anything else. It's the physical part of being able to block, destruct, get off blocks, and do things like that. So at every level, it's a little bit different.
It's interesting that you say that, because as you say that, I think about, you know, maybe you get a guy who's a sensational athlete, but he's not a, you know, he's not a, as quick a thinker. Because you talk about that middle linebacker, that person's got to be tough, physical, and has got to read a ton of keys, has to make calls. That person's your quarterback.
No question. And with what we do from a mindset standpoint, where we protect vertical coverage and stress underneath. So they got to be able to run and do a lot of things that DBs do.
Spring showcase. What will it look like for fans? Sell it on to people who come out on a nice sunny day, see some football. What kind of structure are you going to have to this thing?
We're planning on, and we're working through the kinks of exactly how we think we got a plan to where it's going to be a game format, where we're going to split up the teams, have a, you know, and run, you know, 15-minute running quarters, stop 2 minutes at the end of the halves, and play a game. And so I think that'd be more fun for the kids and fun, more fun for the fans, and just a little bit more excitement than going out there and doing a normal scrimmage.
Trent Bray, I appreciate you joining us. Good luck in the spring game, and we'll talk to you down the road. I appreciate you sharing so much.
No problem. Thanks again.
All right. There he goes, Oregon State football coach Trent Bray. Did you see how he opened up there, Stephen, as I'm talking about coaching the players and, you know, not as comfortable talking history and philosophy, but he went there. But when the minute I start talking about coaching the defensive backs or coaching the linebackers or coaching the D tackles, boom, Trent Bray came out like the sunshine on a cloudy day.
He's a real coach, I tell you what. Like that's a football guy right there. He knows this other stuff. He knows the history, but he wants to talk football and he wants to get on the field with those guys and coach them up. And I thought it was interesting how he talked about, you know, the identity of Oregon State, you know, the hard-nosed running team, great defense. You know, that's what they've been built on for years. I mean, going back to the Fiesta Bowl runs, like he said, that's not going to change. This is what we're going to do. And I think you talk about him on the defensive side, like he's going to get after these guys on defense because he knows that's how you're going to win games. I think there's a lot of unknowns on the offensive side, yeah. But if he can get the defensive going like he, you know, how he has the last couple of years, he can stay in some of these ball games.
I like Ryan Gunderson a lot, the offensive coordinator. I like him a lot. I am really interested, probably far more interested than anything that happens on defense. I'm interested to see what Oregon State wants to be, because you can tell. You can't always tell who they are in a spring game, but you can tell who they want to be. I'm interested to see who they want to be. And I thought there was a little shade there for Damian Martinez. Did you catch when he says, we got two guys that we won't have to sub out in passing situations?
I mean, you hear, though, they love that Hankerson. Anthony Hankerson transferred to Colorado. I've heard a ton about him. So, I mean, yes, it's going to hurt losing Damian Martinez, but, you know, the fact that they have other guys that have played before at running back, like, it's not going to hurt as much. I don't know.
Here's the other thing, too, all right? I want to say this, like, full well saying, like, Damian Martinez is a talent. And, you know, his agent had tweeted out today. I don't know if they've made anything official, but he'd tweeted out something to the effect of Damian. Here it is. FYI, Damian is officially in. This was about an hour ago. So officially in where? We'll find out. But the agent playing little games on social media is not my favorite part of the transfer portal. But the, you know, the idea of Damian Martinez being Damian Martinez, here's a question that nobody's talking about. And no, it's a concept when, as it pertains to Martinez leaving Oregon State, that I don't think people are thinking about. And I think it's a mistake not to think about this. Is it possible Damian Martinez is leaving Oregon State because he was so good in the last 2 years with Oregon State's offensive line, Jim Mihalchek, the offensive line coach, Jonathan Smith handing him the rock and scheming? Is it possible that Damian Martinez looked at the offensive line, looked at the scheme, and thought, if I'm not as successful next season, I want it to be somewhere else, and people can go, oh, you weren't as good at, you know, if he goes to Clemson or whoever he goes to, you weren't as good there. It has to be because you know, it's Clemson's fault, not Damian Martinez. If he stays at Oregon State and the run game in general takes a step back because Jim Mihalchek's not there as an offensive line coach and run coordinator, and Jonathan Smith's not calling the plays, I just kind of wonder if Damian might have seen something in the spring that he kind of looked at his offensive line. They're obviously losing a great offensive lineman in the NFL draft. And did he go, maybe it's not about competition. Maybe it's about Damian going, I might not look as good in this.
I think it's possible. I think it is possible. It's interesting to see where he's going to go, because my initial thought was Michigan State, John. That was where I thought.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be so comfortable there. Like you said, Mihalchek's there. Jonathan Smith's there. Aiden Childs is there. If he goes there to Michigan State, I do think you're onto something. I think he thinks, you know, and it's nothing against Damian Martinez, great player. But he looks at it and says, maybe I won't have the success I've had the last couple of years in this new system with Ryan Gunderson. Maybe they're going to want to, you know, do a little more short passing game. Where they know at Michigan State with Jonathan Smith, if I go there, we're going to run the ball. I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the bell cow. I'm going to get those numbers. I think it's going to be really interesting to see where he goes, because if he doesn't go to Michigan State, I think it says a lot more than if he actually does go to Michigan State, where I think it says, I think I'm just more comfortable here, and I don't know if I'm going to get the touches at Oregon State.
Yeah, I keep an eye on it. Let's see what Damian Martinez, where he lands. But look, I think Oregon State's going to do all right. And then here's the other thing. If they do, in fact, have the $400,000 now, it either helps you retain athletes on your football program moving forward, or the Damnation Collective has the ability right now to go into the portal and get Trent Bray a player at a different position who could be an impact player. I will watch the spring game with that in mind on Saturday. I want you to leave it here. Our big splash is coming.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.